Fall of the year.
In the fall of the year, there was always a lot of cabbage out there that they cut and made sauerkraut, maybe sometimes a 30-gallon barrel full of cabbage that was cut into sauerkraut. Mm-hmm. And potatoes, maybe half a wagon load full, 50, maybe 25, 30 bushels of potatoes. They went into the cellar for the winter. And then there was a melon patch, a bastond. There was pumpkins out there, and watermelons, and cochmelona, which I still raise today.
You still raise the citron today?
I had some this year, citron, yes. I got five of them, pretty good ones.
Now, I'm not familiar with that one. Can you tell us what you used it for?
They grow like a watermelon, uh-huh. But they're hard. You gotta cook them. You make sauce with them. I take and I add pineapple to them, and I add raisin to some of them, and some of them just the insides where the kernels are, I take them out and take that soft deal, and then I add just lemon, like the way Mother used to make it. Mm-hmm. And this is very good sauce.
My goodness, I've never heard of it. Boy, learning more.
You want to see how it looks when it's canned?
Uh-huh.
Stop this.
I don't know.
Now, you said you had gardens and you had citrus?
We had citrus in there.
Okay.
And a lot of those old black style black radishes. They were winter
uh-huh.
radishes.
They're winter them. Radishes, right?
And they got big. They were maybe 8-10 inches long and 2.5-3 inches in diameter. And you would bring them in, and they were kept up in the cellar for a long time into the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So there was all that. There was all those vegetables, and there was not that much stuff bought.
How about rutabagas and
we didn't have that. We didn't have, we had kohlrabis, a lot of them all the time, but those were not stored for the winter. They were picked in the garden and eaten as they came along.
So what did you do with this citron? Tell me what you did with
the citrons.
Mm-hmm.
Mother would cook them up into maybe a 2-gallon kettle, or maybe even bigger, mm-hmm. and then she would add lemon to it,
mm-hmm.
and lemon and sugar, and that was made into a sauce, and that was good.
And that was canned then?
Mm-hmm. No, that was when the kettle was empty. There was more cooked.
Oh,
those
so you kept the citrons.
The
just
citrons
like
were
kept
yes, uh-huh. they were kept for a long time. They would keep
uh-huh.
a long time.
Mm-hmm. You know, there were a lot of techniques in this ethnic cooking that we have lost today.
Yes, they could preserve. Now, I remember when Mother would can like meat. Now, she would fry it in a fry pan, and then she would put it into a crock and keep adding some lard on there. And that kept for a long time, you know, right like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they bought that sausage in cans, I mean, maybe 20-pound cans, that was in oil. That was laying in oil. It was like this bologna now, but it was in oil. Oh, we bought that way later into the 30s yet, and later than that.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't make your own sausage?
Oh, yes. When our family was big, and when Dad still butchered, we sometimes butchered 10 pigs a year. And in the fall of the year, we would butcher, and then he would put the hams and the side pork into the brine, and then comes the end of winter, March, and we would smoke it. We had smoked cured ham and side pork until the new came over the summer. And that was hanging in the granary, and not a fly or nothing went on there because it was salted down and smoked.
Mm-hmm.
And that just stayed like that. And that was real good stuff.
Yeah, it was.
At the butcher, and we'd have a lot of sausage and head cheese and all that stuff.
So your mom then made all those ethnic sausages and
well, we foods yeah,
then?
Dad, whatever, and then Mom made her own laundry soap, a lot of it, and rendered as high as 10-12 gallons of lard in when we butchered in the fall,
mm-hmm.
and that was to the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big butter churn, so we would maybe turn 8 gallons of cream into butter in one day, and then she would render that and run it through, and then that kept for months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other?
How about baked food? Baked?
Yeah, bake, I'm sure she made all the noodles
and everything
like that.
When our whole family was there, they sometimes baked, especially the summer that we built the house in 23. Mary would bake 3 times a week, 3 days a week, and always 18 loaves, 3 big pans full, 3 loaves sitting in a pan, and then she had 6 pans.
Boy, that was mass production.
Did any member of the family stay home on Sundays to cook the Sunday meal while the rest of them went to church?
Definitely, yes. Sometimes the rooster was still running around the yard in the morning. By the time we got home from church, the soup was on the table with the rooster. We had a real good root cellar, so on Saturdays they would butcher, you know, the meat that we used on Sundays. But, oh, there was always, we were so many children, we had one car, maybe only 8 went to church or 7 and the rest stayed home. Yeah. So some stayed home.
You know, there was something else that I forgot to ask you when we were talking about agriculture. I wanted to ask what the land was like.
Okay, I'll give you the description of our land. We had, Dad had 1,400 acres of land out there. And we had, after I bought it, then we divided it up because Pete farmed and too, we kind of, but I had 1,200 acres of land at one time. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, our land, we had 1/4 of land that we could not work north and south, we had to work it east and west because it was all on a down slope and the water would get in on the north side of the dead furrow and run out on the south side. Mm. We had to work it east and west. Mm-hmm. I could open, not to the whole 106 acres, but most of it with a 2-foot post and the other end I could open my field. Mm-hmm. And then this went through a whole mile like that. Mm-hmm. We had pretty good level land. There was a few knolls to the east, but that was in the pastures.
How about the quality of the soil?
We had pretty good black soil, pretty rich soil there. Yeah, we raised good crops. We had pretty good soil.
Do you have any problems other than the water with weeds or?
Not those, because we would fell some, you know, and like I say, they burned those stubbles down and burned up the weeds. There was not much left. And they weren't scattered, they weren't straw piles, and the straw piles were burned if we didn't use them, and that was it.
So the next year's crop then wasn't infested with a lot of weeds?
No,
it was relatively clean.
There was sometimes a little mustard there, but that didn't amount to nothing.
Mm-hmm. Quackgrass?
No. Quackgrass, the last quackgrass when I farmed, the last quackgrass that we had, we went out with the farm hand, there was only a few spots, picked it up and took it home into the hawk pen, and the hawks destroyed it. There was no quackgrass in our land, but now there is. Not too much, but there's quackgrass mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. We didn't have no problem with quackgrass.
Do you have any questions that you want to ask Chris? Is there something that you want to talk about that we didn't ask?
I don't know. The only thing I can tell you is, you know, like when we used to have 5 teams out there in the field, 3 plowing and 2 drilling, or 1 dragging and 1 drilling, and that was about the extent of it. And then we'd header, and we had 6 horses on the header, and then those header boxes, and they filled up pretty fast. So we had to unload all that and pitch that, and we had 640 acres right around the place, around the cultivation, so we had to put that in and take it off.
Yeah. Well, this has been a pleasure. Just a plain pleasure. I know that there's a lot of other stories that we could ask you, but our time is sort of up.
Well, don't worry about the time. That clock goes, that keeps going. Don't worry about that.
Well, we really appreciate all of the stories that you've shared with us, and preserving the German from Russia heritage. We really have gone into a depth. And I'd like someday to sit down and talk cooking with you. German cooking is...
We could do that too.
German cooking is another area that we're losing a lot of because we're using a lot of shortcuts, as Chris calls it. He says it's cheating.
Well, The thing is this now, like when my children come, my grandchildren, they want the old stuff, stampfnudel and rambri and ribbit soup, and I make it for them.
Good.
And this is what they want. They got that. This is a big treat mm-hmm. for them.
That's good.
And pickled watermelon, sour Milana. And you know, now like who made jams? Now, just when I went to this wedding here, I took 8 pints along and gave them who made jams. I made strawberry rhubarb jam, raspberry rhubarb jam, some choke cherry jam, and I've got some rhubarb apricot jam, and I picked some of those little apples up here, those little crab apples, mm-hmm. and made some crab apple jam, and it's very, very good.
Oh, that is excellent. You don't need any pectin in it.
Yeah. So I did all that.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Paul.
Well,
we appreciate
welcome.
It.